Next up, the BBC has been accused of acting recklessly after targeting children as young as six with a programme about a schoolboy who takes sex change drugs. Parents are angry that the show, available on the CBBC website, features a transgender storyline inappropriate for their children. Here's a clip from Just a Girl depicting an 11-year-old's struggle to get hormones that stunt puberty, making it easier to have sex change surgery in the future.
Today I'll finally talk a bit about me being transgender. There. Got it? Good. Going to do it in the style of a big speech. Wasn't me. Yes, it was, rude girl. Where's my audience today? All the way from her bedroom, Miss Amy Jones. I'd like to thank my agent, my stylist, makeup artist. Get on with it.
Can I come in, Amy?
No, Tashi. I'll let it roll. Why not?
Doing your audio diary?
Yes, and I was about to talk about being born in the wrong body.
Are campaigners right in saying that the story could sow the seeds of confusion in young minds? Or is it good to normalise these things? Well, the commentators Fionnuala Meredith and Angela Epstein with us this morning. Fionnuala, good morning.
Morning, Stephen.
Morning, Angela. Morning,
good
morning. Morning, Angela. Morning. Fionnuala, what do you think?
I think on the whole it's a good thing because, you know, there are transgender kids out there. Now, admittedly, they're a very, very small proportion of the population, and I think it's very important that that's made clear to children who are watching stuff like this, that, you know, this isn't common. This is very unusual. But nonetheless, it's important that children understand that there are all kinds of people in the world. And I think if it's treated in a normal kind of fashion, say, well, yeah, there are people like this, then I think that's a healthy thing. I don't think there's a problem with the fact of doing a programme like this.
Angela?
I'm absolutely appalled by the BBC. I mean, what happened to John Craven's Newsround and Blue Peter? Obviously, there are all sorts of important, quote-unquote, issues that at some point in the trajectory of childhood we have to introduce to our youngsters and make them understand, you know, key concepts like racism and bigotry, etc., sexism. But come
on. Those are negative.
Hang on, Fionnuala. I listen to you. Please don't interrupt me. Come on here. This is CBBC. We are hijacking childhood in a completely robust and unapologetic way. Children as young as six will be watching this. It's aimed at children aged 6 to 12. Children are very confused at that stage. They don't know what they are. Some of them want to be astronauts. Some of them want to be train drivers. Some of them want to be magicians. And what you're doing here is dishing up an issue that, first of all, is a minority issue. It doesn't make it mean it's not important. But you're shipping in concepts from very adult concepts onto a children's program, which should be all about the innocence of childhood. Why have we stopped letting children be children? This is not the place or the forum to do it. And I completely do not understand what the BBC were thinking, other than this is another opportunity to push the envelope in doing this.
Can I just come back there? I thought it was really telling that Angela listed a programme about trans kids alongside all the difficult things that children will have to eventually learn about, like sexism and racism. I thought that was very telling that she would link the issue of transgenderism in with that. But why do that? That's so hostile and offensive. I think it's really unpleasant because sexism and racism are horrible things. I think we can all agree. But being transgender isn't a horrible, offensive thing. It's what happens to a number of kids. Now, I am not one to embrace this sort of fashion for kind of militant transgender politics where you can't say a bad word about Caitlyn Jenner or you're howled down. I have no time for that. But I think we should make time for kids to be aware that people come in all shapes and sizes, all colours, all creeds, all different ways of manifesting their humanity. And this happens to be one of them. And of course, it's a very small number of people. And I think that's the reassurance that any kids who are worried about a programme like this, and most won't be, let's face it, but any kids who are worried about a programme like this say, well, look, you know, It's only a small number of children. It doesn't affect very many people. For those who does...
But a six-year-old, when a six-year-old is seeing a programme about sex change drugs...
Well, you know, so it happens. I've always been...
It's not normally sex change drugs aren't normally in a six-year-old's life.
No. I've always been of the attitude when my children were small is let them find out about what the world is like. Of course you protect them from all the horrible stuff until they get a bit older. But it's not quite the same thing, but it made me think of it this morning. My kids, when they were small, had a pair of lesbian babysitters. And for me, that was a great way for them to find out, yeah, that's just normal. That's just part of life. There's no big deal. And I don't see why trans issues should be any different.
Can I just first of all take up the issue with the fact that I seem to be suggesting that transgenderism is horrible? The point I was making when I flagged up racism and sexism is that I'm saying that these are, if you like, adult topics, in the sense that children have to be at an age where they can start to mainly perhaps understand, at least in broad strokes, what this means. I'm not suggesting that being transgender is somehow as nefarious as the way a racist would behave, so I'd like to put that one to bed first of all. Excuse me. I'm sorry. But what I think is absolutely manifestly clear is that we're now embracing a culture where we have to make children understand and learn things in a kind of show and tell way. I have to say, as a mum myself, my kids have found, you know, their peers are just as good as adults at telling them stuff. Children are very good at finding out what goes on in the world anyway. We don't have to put the kind of cart before the horse and say, okay, you're 6 years old, you're definitely in the age now where you need to start thinking about puberty-halting drugs, or you need to start thinking about transgender issues. Why can't we let children be children? Children are very resilient, they're very imaginative, and they're very robust. Why do we as adults have to define the terms of reference for the topics that they should be thinking about?
030 30 80 55 55. Norman Banger. Morning, Norman.
Morning, Stephen.
Oh, not Stephen. You.
Stephen, that last lady is exactly right. Let children be children. When a child's born, it's born a boy or a girl, and it doesn't even know what it's going to be when it grows up, what a job it's going to do. So we're filling the child's head now that it's all right for to change your gender. There's no such thing as transgender, so there's not. And the parents are to blame for letting the child, instead of talking to that child and saying, look, you're born a boy or you're born a girl, and the BBC shouldn't be showing this to other children, because that's what we're filling their head with. And now children are wanting to change what sex they are. And it's wrong. So it is, you come into this world a boy, you come into it as a girl, the same as you or me. And that's the way it should be. Instead of filling a child's head, it's all right to be gay or lesbian or transgender.
That is profoundly depressing.
It's go on, Fionnuala.
That is so depressing. It's, I mean, let's deal in the realms of fact, shall we? Norman says there's no such thing as transgenderism.
There is no such
factually
thing.
No, well, I'm sorry, Norman, there is. There's a condition called gender dysphoria, where children feel...
Hold on, Norman.
And it was painful to listen to, so you can listen to me. There is a condition called gender dysphoria, and it is rare enough. It is rare enough where children do feel that they're in the wrong body, that they're the wrong gender. Can you imagine? What about a bit of compassion, Norman? Can you imagine how difficult that must feel? Can you imagine how challenging that is for those children and their parents as to how they're going to deal with it? Do you think we really should be sitting in judgment, or even worse, saying, oh, I'm sorry, that just doesn't exist, that condition?
Okay.
God created
Angela.
Adam and Eve, a man and a woman. He created a man and a woman. And when you come into this world, you come into this world as a man.
Final word to you, Angela.
Well, setting aside what the biology and what the medicine says, let's get back to the nub of the issue. A children's programme is clearly not the vehicle for discussing this. Children are very confused, they're very imaginative, and all this is doing is offering them a definition of something which may have nothing to do with transgender. Oh, I don't feel happy today, or I don't like playing with the boys at school. Oh, I must be suffering with some kind of transgender issue. Let them find the world for themselves in all its beautiful glory, and not shove adult issues down their throat when they should be watching something much simpler.
Okay, we're going to leave it there. Angela, thank you. Fionnuala, thank you very much. 5 to 10, 0 30 30, 80 55 55. Now, Northern Ireland's Council for Ethnic Minorities has confirmed it's set to close due to lack of funds. The council, which has been operating since 1994, has said in a letter that it cannot stay open because of severe cash flow problems. It said that it had failed to gain two Stormont grants that would have totalled £90,000. The Alliance Party councillor, Kate Nicol, with us today. What's going on here, Kate? NICEM's been around for quite a long time, established in 2001.
Yeah, Stephen, it's devastating. Devastating for NICEM, for BME communities, for the whole sector. For all of us, your listeners may not know, but they do enormously important work to support racial equality. They're the only umbrella organization helping ethnic and minority people, not just with advocacy, but They provide research and specialized policy assistance. And the real concern is who's going to fill that vacuum now. It's a very sad day.
Yeah, the executive are saying that it's regrettable that NICEM have had to go into voluntary administration. They say they owe the organisation, we all owe, they say, the organisation, and Patrick, you in particular, a debt of gratitude. They explain that NICEM received £90,000 in 2015-16 alone. The executive office continues, the MEDF, that's the Minority Ethnic Development Fund, has become an increasingly competitive process, and the fund has attracted increasing numbers of applicants and variety of projects. In 2016-17, there were 99 applications, of which 32 were successful this year for the fund, worth just over £1 million, Kate. So in other words, other people had better pitches.
Perhaps that's the case. I know from my experience working in the Northern Ireland Assembly for Anna Lowe, that NICEM do extraordinary work. They're the only kind of umbrella organisation that do that intergroup kind of work. So there'll be a lot of minority ethnic groups, but they maybe don't have kind of specific policy roles. NICEM would provide a lot of that assistance. I think more questions need to be asked because for me, that's a bit of a cop-out. Like, NICEM have been fantastic, and I think we really need to ask the executive what their priorities are and who they see as key stakeholders.
What impact is this going to have on minority groups?
So from a kind of day-to-day administration, NICEM provide a lot of specialised advice. They do a lot of, they've been instrumental for in bringing the racial equality strategy around, for example. So it's a lot of work to do with institutionalised racism. But also, I think there's a message here as well. Allowing NICEM to close doesn't send a positive message of support to those communities who, quite frankly, post-Brexit already feel quite vulnerable. I think really now it's up to all of us to try and fill NICEM's void and ensure those BME communities have a voice and that voice is heard, because as we know, our executive hasn't always been great at
Well, funding hasn't
that.
Been cut, has it? There's more minority ethnic groups. There are more minority ethnic groups in existence, more bids for the money.
Well, the funding has been cut from NICEM, and they're the umbrella organisation. They do so much work for the other organisations. I think that there's been a serious strategic mistake, and I think that it needs to be looked at.
Okay. Kate, thank you very much indeed. Thank you.